The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we feature a very special parish within the Diocese of Cleveland, located in Cleveland's Slavic Village neighborhood, a parish which will be celebrating its 140th anniversary on the 25th of this month, a parish which has served distinctly different ethnic communities and transitioned through Cleveland's economic times. And Our Lady of Lourdes Parish, off East 55th and Broadway on Cleveland's Near South Side, founded in 1883 and has served as a centerpiece, first for Cleveland's immigrant Czech and Slovak community, and most recently for a Hispanic community made up of a variety of Hispanic peoples. Well, this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes Parish, Father Joseph Callahan, along with Betty Bitson, longtime parishioner and president of the Altar and Rosary Society, and Esmeralda Santos, member of the Young Adult Organization and student from Cleveland State University. And welcome to you all. And first, I'll turn to you, Father. Tell us about the parish founding. People from what is now the Czech Republic and Slovakia migrating to Cleveland for a better life, many working in the nearby steel mills. Is that how it all began?
It's it. First of all, thank you very, very much for it. We feel very honored to be here to share about our parish, the history, and the actual experience now. And you're right, Bob. In that area, you know, I think the first people that settled were from Ireland and Scotland, more towards Newburgh, where Holy Name Parish is. Holy Name would be the older parish in the area. And what happened is because they were working in the factories, the steel mills, it's very industrial. And as the people started to organize to demand a little better working conditions and wages and so on, they looked to Central and Eastern Europe to bring people in to work in these positions. So that's why they settled in that area, first around East 37th and Broadway, which was St. Wenceslas Parish, and growing to the Our Lady of Lourdes area, which was the breakoff then from St. Wenceslas.
Now, I understand the first pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes was from Slovakia and came to Cleveland as a seminarian from a seminary in Prague, Czech Republic, and was also responsible for choosing the name Our Lady of Lourdes. Tell us about that.
According to the oral tradition, when the seminarian was coming to the mission country in the United States, you know, the apparition of Our Lady to St. Bernadette in Lourdes, France, was about 24 years previous. There was a lot of fervor in Europe and people going on pilgrimage there, and he was able to make a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. And according to the tradition, he made a promise that if and when he were to found a parish in the mission country of the United States, he would dedicate it to Our Lady of Lourdes. So the Czech people really don't have a specific devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes, but they have other great saints or devotions, but that's how we're told the parish got its name.
Very good. Well, you know, one of the other legacies at the parish, Catholic education. Who was the teaching order of sisters to establish that? And it, almost from the get-go, a fairly vibrant school.
Correct. Right from the start in 1883, the Sisters of Notre Dame were there. And they, of course, were, most of them were immigrants at that time. And there were some from Czechoslovakia. And so they were at the parish in the school, later in a high school, until the early 90s. And now we have on staff a Sister of Notre Dame who does the religious education, formation of children, and the sacramental preparation. Yeah.
Very good. Over the years, the neighborhood has changed, and let's jump ahead into the 50s or so, and there was a new population that began to arrive at Our Lady of Lourdes.
Right. That's when they brought the Puerto Rican families to the Cleveland area. Most of them settled, as we know, on the west side, but there was a fair number that settled on the east side, including where we are around Our Lady of Lourdes, to, again, to work in the factories and so on.
Mm, that's very good. In fact, now, as of today, Mass is offered each weekend in both Spanish and English?
Yes, that's right.
Well, it's very good. How did a priest with an Irish last name become pastor of this Czech, now largely Hispanic parish? How'd that come about?
Right. Well, I had the privilege of serving on the diocesan mission team in El Salvador for about 16 years and was privileged to walk with the people and serve the people there and really to get to know not only the language, but the culture and the rhythm of the really of the poor people in the country. Many of our immigrant families from Central America and from Mexico and South America come from similar situations. So it's a really good fit in terms of Hispanic ministry, but also in terms of the European American community.
Very good. Betty and Esmeralda, will be getting to you now in the next segment. But when we return, Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Cleveland. Its rich history as it celebrates its 140th anniversary on Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host Bob Tayak with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Well, right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesic's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now as our interview continues with the Reverend Joseph Callahan, pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Cleveland, along with longtime parishioner Betty Bitson and member of the Young Adult Ministry, Esmeralda Santos, we'll move real quickly just to kind of an update. It was something I saw in your history, Father, and at Our Lady of Lourdes, and that was that here we are emerging from this COVID pandemic, a pandemic going back to 1918 had a somewhat profound effect on the parish at the time. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what transpired.
Of course, everything was closed all over, no masses or anything. But during that time, one of the sisters died of the influenza. And the two priests who were assigned there at the time both became very ill and were hospitalized for a while, but they both did recover. There was a record day of burials at Calvary Cemetery, which is not far from where we are, and I looked up in the death register, I think 17 people from the parish were buried that day, and they came from other parishes as well, as people were dying during the pandemic, so in at the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah, 1918, roughly. Yeah. My goodness. It just struck me, you know, as you look at that in history, to a certain degree repeating itself.
Right.
Let's talk about, well, first, the Czech community and what they brought as far as the spirituality and practice. And I wonder, Betty, if you could tell us some memories about what might have been as you grew up in the parish as far as some of the liturgies or events or what became prominent in that regard.
Well, it's the traditional ones that you would have, and you look up to the older ladies You know, that's actually Father Andel at the time was the pastor. And he kind of encouraged younger women to join. It wasn't just an old ladies group, you know, which you look forward to joining. And that's how you get your commitment of serving your parish. And then as you grow older, you realize that this is something that is part of you when you belong to a community. It's not something you do because you have to do. It's because you're there. And you bring up the traditions, like we still have the May crowning, and you know, in both communities, and that's something that's been a tradition. And in our parish, for a tradition, we have them bring the flowers from their yard, and everyone gets a flower to the whole church. We pass them out, and they come up to attribute the Blessed Mother. So I mean, stuff like that that you remember, even as a child, that's still existing.
You have the Altar and Rosary Society, correct?
Correct.
As one of the things that, tell us about that as far as what's involved there and how do you get the people involved?
Okay, right now, accordingly, we do the Rosary the first Sunday every month. And because in May is the Blessed Mother Month and October is the month of the Rosary, we do it every Sunday, okay? And so we have, again, a population of older English ladies. And so it's nice that they get together and we do this. But a lot of them say the rosary is obviously on their own all the time. And then we have meetings every other month. And that's, again, almost like the social, because some of these ladies are widows. And they don't have, or some don't have families at all. They're single ladies. And membership is harder because we don't have a lot of young people joining. But we've noticed, which it's nice, we have now widows. And it seems like they need a place. And so we've been asking them to please join us. And we've really, for this year, we've had like two or three new members, which, you know, when you talk about some of the places that are declining and they don't have anything, I'm very privileged that we can do this.
Let me transition then to the Hispanic population that is now at the parish. And Esmeralda, you related to us before the interview that this has been part of your life growing up. Tell me how that has affected you as far as the spirituality and what you have been able to embrace through the parish.
Yes, absolutely. So, like I said, I've been here my whole life, so it's been so nice to grow up and see, like, seeing older people just so, in a way, I'm going to explain this. I guess in a way, they're so into church, like, they do stuff, and like, it makes it, like, I've surrounded myself with my dad being in the church choir, both my parents being a part of just helping out, and just seeing that is like as Betty said as well, it's not something that you're like forced to be there. It's more like you're there, you want to be there. And I feel like when I was younger, when I used to see that, I used to think of, oh, like, I wonder if I'm going to be like that when I grow up. And as a student now, and like having so much stuff around me, it's like, I want to do it. I want to help. I want to give back to the Hispanic community, and as well as like being Catholic and just being able to embrace that, being able to be a little bit more hands-on, and just, yeah, being part of the youth ministry is just amazing, honestly.
Oh, no, that's very good. Father, I find it interesting, and I've read about this, and I've been to El Salvador too myself, just for a week, but mm-hmm. nevertheless. About the Hispanic spirituality, I know you've related a story about a young woman, and Our Lady of Guadalupe is a major celebration. I wonder if you could tell us about your experience with that particular incident, just to give us a feel for that love of God and the Blessed Mother.
And the Blessed Mother, right. My first year there, which was 14 years ago, we organized the traditional Mañanitas on the 12th of December, which means that the people come at 5 in the morning to pray the rosary and to sing songs to Mary. And so we programmed it, and I went to open the door at 4:30 in the morning, and it was dark and raining and kind of almost snowing. And there was a lady there with an infant in her arm, roses in the other hand, and her four kids behind her. And I said, if no one else comes, it's worth it.
Sure. And this is at 4:30
in the morning. And she said, oh, they'll come, Father. They will come for Our Lady. They will come. And they came. 200 people. They were there. Yeah. Well, so.
Yeah, I mean, that is, what a testament, I guess,
right.
I would say.
And that kid we'll be serving the Mass with the bishop on June 25th.
Oh, very good. In fact, we're going to talk about June 25th and what's coming up in just a moment as we feature Our Lady of Lourdes Parish, serving the spiritual well-being of a diverse congregation in the Slavic Village neighborhood on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship, featuring Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Cleveland's Slavic Village neighborhood, celebrating its 140th anniversary. You're listening to AM 1260, The Rock, and my guests are Our Lady of Lourdes Pastor Father Joseph Callahan, along with longtime parishioner Betty Bitson and youth ministry member Esmeralda Santos. And Father, 140th anniversary of this parish, and it's coming up now, the celebration itself, very shortly. How will you be celebrating?
Right. Well, that the big day, the climax, if you will be Sunday the 25th of June. Bishop Mlesek will come to preside at the 12:30 Sunday Mass. It will be a bilingual Mass, so the two choirs come together, the English-speaking and Spanish-speaking. And after the Mass, we will have a reception for everyone, open reception for everyone, with a meal for everyone that comes. We are putting together a commemorative booklet to market with the history as well as patrons and all the rest. So there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of people coming together. It's kind of the post-pandemic enthusiasm to come together and have a big event.
That's very good. So that's coming up very shortly. You know, it brings to mind a couple of things that I had read in your history, and they still exist in the parish as far as, well, you cited, for instance, from the Hispanic element, the celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe. But Betty, I look at you because is it every other year the Czech community gets together? Or you, tell us about that.
Well, we have one celebration is for St. Wenceslas Day, and that's every year. And yes, and we are very privileged that we are going to be celebrating 100 years, and we are the hosts this year. So I'm very excited about that. September 30th, 4 o'clock Mass, Our Lady of Lourdes.
Oh, excellent. And now, if I do come, do I get pork dumplings and sauerkraut afterwards?
When you give me money for the ticket, yes.
Well, it would be worth it. And that is one of the elements that still remains. And Esmeralda, there are, I'm sure, from the Hispanic community, I know some different celebrations and so forth that you participate in.
Yes, absolutely. So we actually do a lot of things. We do the Three Kings, and where a lot of children just kind of line up, and every kid gets a present, which I think it's so beautiful. I to this day, I still remember, like, just unwrapping the most, like humbling gift, and it's just beautiful, honestly. We also do on Christmas Day, we actually do basically like a bunch of young adults dress up as Mary and as, you know, the star, and it's so beautiful because we get to pick at least one kid, one baby as to dress as baby Jesus, and we actually carry the Mary actually carries him and. Like right in the middle of Mass. And I think it's just so beautiful. Just like overall the participation with the youth. And I just think that, you know, it's just something that you never forget. Every year it's different, but yet it's so memorable.
Let me ask that. That brings to mind one of the questions I always like to ask during these interviews with the parish. And I look right to you, Father. But, you know, we're in a culture which is so difficult now to reach young people, or at least to get them interested and to continue to develop their faith. How do you go about that? What's your approach at Our Lady of Lourdes?
Right. I think observing, and I'm speaking now about the Hispanic community, when we interact with another culture, if you will, one of the great values that they bring is the family. They do things as a family. So Esmeralda and her brother have been coming to church with their parents since they were really little, and there's no discussion on Sunday morning, like, we're not going to go to church, you know? And to all of the other activities as well. So to me, it's the value of the family and learning from the parents, as she said, and the other people being there, being surrounded by it, that perhaps gives them, at this point, a little higher retention than others. It's not 100%, that's certainly for sure. But it certainly is working with some. And we're trying now to get them more involved. Esmeralda sings in the choir once in a while. She has a beautiful voice to sing solo. and in other activities. That to me is the key. If they have a good experience of community as their extended family, then they will continue.
One of the things I read about, and I want to ask you, Father, it's the Juan the 23rd movement. Tell us about what this means from establishing a cross-culture bridge in your congregation. What is that about?
Right. Well, this is a lay ecclesial movement that's actually diocesan. Been accepted in the diocese. And so it's for all of the, at the moment, it's the retreats. They do a retreat every other month, one for women, one for men. It's in Spanish now. It's intercultural in terms of the Latinos. So they're from all different countries in Puerto Rico. And they come together and plan the retreat. And we just finished one with 30 women on Sunday night. They come Friday night and leave until Sunday night. And then they're invited to a weekly follow-up meeting in their parish. And we have five parishes in the diocese that have these groups that meet on a regular basis.
You know, I think that's something that I think the general population may not be aware of, that you're experiencing at Our Lady of Lourdes, and I know in a couple of other, particularly Hispanic parishes, that there are really some different cultures, if you will, within the Hispanic community. You have Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, El Salvadorans, and so forth. And right. that presents a real means of having to try to bring unity, correct?
That's right. Just sit them down and talk about what we're going to eat.
I bet.
What country will predominate?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Betty, please.
Okay. One of the things that we're talking about is the different cultures, and the thing that we established, and this was before Father came, is the International Festival that we have once a year. And that really cemented, because when it first started, we actually didn't have a pastor at our parish. We had a Presbyterian moderator, and that, and then I can tell Father. Father was one of the ones that would come all the way from Painesville on Sunday. There was four priests that would rotate, so we would have a priest available. But the International Festival was started by the people that were helping us do this, and that's how I think we really got to know everybody. Because when you're working on a project like that, and again, they didn't all speak English, and you're working with food and putting things together and dancing, and that food is actually a thing that binds people, okay? and that was the start of it. And I think that's what flourished the parish, knowing that we all can get along. And it's one of the biggest things that we really did accomplish.
Very good. Well, I just want to thank you all for being here. As the audience, you've been listening to Where We Worship. And this is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Cleveland's Slavic Village neighborhood, celebrating its 140th anniversary. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. And is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.